Da-da-da.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
I cannot wait for this just to be our regular holiday thing that we do every year.
I'm just gonna throw it out randomly just to keep the listeners on their toes.
It's thing is, like, I'm thinking of it like not even as like podcast thing. It's just us whenever we see each other during the holiday season. We greet each other with the most unnerving rendition, and then everyone just stares at us.
Not in on that inside joke.
You got to be cool to be in on that inside joke. You got to listen to the Silly Marillion. Now the listeners are in on it.
Yeah. They're the coolest.
They're the coolest. And the patrons are even cooler.
If you want to be the coolest of the cool,
yeah, go over to our Patreon.
Patreon plug for the day.
Well, I thought we could start by talking about Spotify Wrapped and how...
Oh, yes.
We had plenty of people who... Also, we could maybe give some statistics to our listeners out there.
Let me pull it up. Thanks, everyone, for sharing and tagging us on your Spotify Wrapped stuff. I say this often, but it's so cool and so crazy to see there are actual people listening.
It is
every time.
It blows my mind whenever someone like brings it up, like, oh, someone I was talking to mentioned that they listen to your podcast, and I'm like, what? Stop.
What do you mean?
Get out of town.
Yeah, Molly mentioned she met some people at whatever Comic
Con in London.
Yeah, that she was at, and said they knew of the podcast thanks to her, which is like super cool.
Hell yeah.
And thanks, everyone, for sharing it with your friends and letting people know or just posting it on your socials. Most of our listeners, new listeners, come from you all sharing it. So,
yeah,
thanks for bringing
that's our outreach to you guys.
Yeah, grassroots marketing.
Yeah, word of mouth is like some of the best way to get people into a podcast, because if you're friends with someone, you tend to know their interests and what they like, so you can like more heartily recommend a podcast and they'll actually keep listening to it. So,
and you know, us nerds flock together, so
yeah. I've been thinking about maybe putting our stuff on YouTube, our episodes, just setting up a YouTube channel and just putting it up there, because some people listen to podcasts on YouTube, oddly enough.
Whoa.
I mean, I do, but it's always like really low budget Bigfoot podcasts about people's encounters. So, but I think we could work it.
Yeah, I'm down for it.
Give me those statistics.
All right. So it did actually tell us how people, new listeners, found our podcast, and it was mostly shared via text. Yeah, I think it said via text, because there's also like socials and other things. I don't have that screenshotted, but I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
So we were streamed in 37 countries.
Wow.
I can't even name 37 countries.
I think United States, Canada, Mexico, Costa Rica, Venezuela, Japan, China, Russia, India, Sudan, Germany, Hungary, Sweden, Norway, Great Britain, or United Kingdom, Ireland, Spain, Portugal, Italy, South Africa, Zimbabwe, 20. The Gambia, Jamaica.
I'm so impressed right now.
Haiti, Bangladesh, Vietnam. Where am I at? 31 or 21?
26.
26. Okay, 26. 10 more to go. Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, Kyrgyzstan.
Wow.
Armenia, Azerbaijan, Georgia. I'm just going through the Caucasus now. Iran, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Nepal, Bhutan, Czech Republic, Slovakia, Poland, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania,
Oh my
Finland.
God. I'll be so honest. I was counting based off of your hands, and now that your fingers are down.
Yeah. I'll add Australia, New Zealand, Papua New Guinea, Indonesia, and Malaysia just to
Think you're
round it
well
out.
into the 40s now.
Yeah.
Okay. His geography buff.
I won the geography bee in 5th grade, I'll have you
Wow,
know.
I am no longer shocked. Those skills
I
really
won.
kept
I
with
was
you.
the most intelligent geographer in 5th grade in my class. And then I
Wow.
didn't qualify to go any further than my school. So.
I'm impressed. Those were a lot of countries you just listed off the top of your head. Well done, well done. I was in the spelling bee in 5th grade. I could spell those countries.
Hey, nice.
And with
Spell
our powers
Kyrgyzstan right now.
combined. Spell what?
Spell Kyrgyzstan right now.
Okay, maybe not that one.
Shout out to, like, if we have any listeners in Kyrgyzstan. I like your nation's name. It's very, very nice.
Man, if we said your country, send us a DM, send us a
Yeah,
tweet.
if you are from the Gambia, I also like the name of your country.
Just tell us where you're from, because 37 countries is wild that we have that
Yeah.
many listeners. And how did you find us? The
Thanks for
most
listening
new
to Two Dumb
listeners,
Americans.
on top of that, well, 45% of total streams was in the US. Shout out
Yeah.
US. Most new listeners from India.
India?
India listeners, where did you find us?
India. Ooh.
What is the Tolkien fan base look like over there?
Well, I mean, they were colonized by the British quite a bit, so. But to be fair, Lord of the Rings didn't come out till the 70s. I don't know. I would like to know more about the Tolkien fan base in India. I am
Yeah.
very, very interested in that.
And how
If
did you find us?
you are Indian and you listen to our podcast, let us know where you're from. Let us know how you got
Also,
into Tolkien. I'm very interested.
you'll have great food.
I've only
Gonna
had a
shout
little
that
bit of
out.
Indian food, but I want to try more.
So
Because what I
good.
had was pretty good.
So good.
I mean, I got the white boy palate, but
We expand
I'm trying
it.
to build up. I'm trying to build
Yeah.
up.
LA is a great place to expand it.
Oh. There's so many places. Once I have actual money that I can go
It's
out and
over.
eat
It's over for
places,
everyone.
like I'll be asking you, shall we go out to dinner at this place tonight?
I love how we just
Come.
automatically got fancier.
I mean, fancy people always go out to eat. Like right
What's with
now,
our Taco Bell?
I'm the guy making hamburger helper.
Oh yeah, Sloppy Joe time. Where's your Sloppy Joe?
I already ate all my sloppy
Oh,
joes.
good. You're doing a favor to feature editing, Paul.
Yeah.
Our podcast rating was 5.0, and then it said, "Can you feel the love?" Can certainly feel the love.
Hell yeah.
This next part I liked just because it felt very Samwise. It said, "Are you a gardener? Because your podcast saw some nice growth this year." Plus
Hey.
69%
It's nice.
followers.
Nice.
Nice in the chat. Nice in the chat.
Gotta love it.
And then the last screenshot I had said, "What a year. We were top 10 for 182 fans, top
Ooh.
5 for 128 fans, and the top podcast for 37 fans."
30, wow.
37, lucky number.
Yeah, that's our constant number,
Yeah.
37.
So,
You know
yes.
what? Whenever I play roulette now, it's always going to be 37.
Always 37.
37. 37 black.
Thanks,
Oh,
y'all.
goodness.
Thanks for listening. As always,
We
here
really
on
do appreciate it.
Season four.
Season 4, yeah, season
Year
4.
three?
Yeah, we've known each
Two?
other for
Three?
3 years, yeah.
Oh my God.
I mean, when I've used you as a work reference, I have been like, how long have Tori and I known each other? I'm like, oh yeah, 3 years.
Yeah. I think our 3 year pod anniversary will be the summer, right? So
I
we started in the
believe
summer.
so. Let me look up when our first episode was released.
Oh my God.
Our first episode, yep, June 2021.
Damn. Damn. Time flies
Doesn't
when you're
have the
having fun.
date though. Oh well. We'll do an anniversary episode. Gosh, we might be done with Two Towers by then, if I'm being honest. We might be going into Return of the King.
Ooh.
What are we gonna do once we're done with Lord of the Rings?
Well, there's
Guess
still
we'll
some
never, guess we'll
extra.
stop being friends, I guess.
That's it. Friendship expired.
Friendship only has the runtime of
I do want to do the Christmas letters that Tolkien did one holiday
Yes.
season. So I'd love
Yes.
to line that up at some point. Well, then
Sure, we can find something nerdy to both get into.
there's plenty of nerdy things for us
There's
to
plenty of nerdy stuff.
get into.
All right.
But for now.
But for now, let's dive back into the Two Towers. Sorry, I was trying to get a. All right. In 3, 2, 1. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the Silmarillion. As always, I am your host, Paul, joined as ever by my traveling companion, Tori. Tori, how are you?
Hey, Paul, thanks for having me this week. Fancy meeting you here on the road to Isengard.
Oh, I couldn't imagine going to Isengard with anyone else. I feel like you and I are like hitchhiking on the side of the road when like the
We've
Fellowship
got like
rides
a
by.
stick. We're just like on the side or like pass them by. We're like, oh, they look cool.
Isengard or bust.
They obviously don't have anything important they're up to.
Well, the battle for Helm's Deep is concluded. I don't have to complain about it anymore until we cover the movies.
I did get a DM from a listener. Shout out to that listener. You know who you are. Who was like, I disagree with Paul's take.
How dare anyone disagree with me?
He was like, I respect it, but I respectfully disagree.
Did he give his reasons?
Let me pull it up.
'Cause I will argue this man on the fucking podcast. I'm not letting him on the podcast, but I'm gonna yell at him through this podcast. How dare you disagree with my opinions?
Where is
I
it?
am
Where
the
is
be all
it?
and end all. Nerve.
He said, I think it was a perfect amount of time, but I respect his opinion. And I said, when we're done with the book, I'll watch it and I'll be the tiebreaker.
It goes on for too long, man. There's too for a chapter, and they make it. Oh, they could have. Oh,
Oops, I
God.
started the rant up again. Anyway, back to Isengard.
I'm gonna have a fucking brain aneurysm. It's just gonna kill me. Well, Will, I will talk ad nauseum when we actually talk about the films. So, in the meantime, we're basically starting with the aftermath of the Battle of Helm's Deep, with Gandalf riding up and to meet with Théoden, Aragorn, and Legolas, and then we find out that Éomer and Gimli are okay. They come out with
Yeah.
Gamling the Old from the caves, and
I
Gimli
love
has
that.
taken a wound. He had no helm, and
Yes.
about his head was a linen band stained with blood, but his voice was loud and strong. 42, Master Legolas, he cried. Alas, my axe is notched. The 42nd had an iron collar on his neck. How is it with you?
You have passed my score by one. But I do not grudge you the game, so glad I am to see you on your legs.
I love these two.
So cute. Kept it up, 42. So impressive.
42. He did rack it. Well, they're in those tight spaces of the cave. He can
Just
probably
swinging his
get
axe
himself forward
willy-nilly.
and just swing it wherever he wants.
But
And we
he's so
have.
little. He's just chopping off kneecaps.
Yeah. We also have Théoden meeting up with Éomer and glad to see him safe. And Éomer, I love how Éomer says, "Once more, you come in the hour of need unlooked for." Unlooked for, said Gandalf. "I said I would return and meet you here."
He just comes and goes like a little wizard cryptid.
He's going about. He's doing his thing, you know? He's
But
got
does
work to
always
do.
return, even
Yeah,
when you
he
think he's
does.
dead.
He keeps coming back.
Surprise, bitch.
And then they immediately then turn to the trees and were like, is this your doing? And Gandalf's like, oh no, this is way more powerful than me. And they're like, is there some mightier sage of whom we have yet to learn? It is not wizardry, but a power far older, said Gandalf. A power that walked the earth ere elf sang or hammer rang. Ere iron was found or tree was hewn, when young was mountain under moon, ere ring was made or wrought was woe, it walked the forests long ago. And, of course, Gandalf answers it with a riddle, and Theoden's like, and what may be the answer to the riddle? And Gandalf's like, ooh, you'll have to come with me and find out, because oh I'm God. Going to Isengard.
Just wizard shit, I swear.
He's so... He's the most indirect asshole. Like, yes. Ooh, would you like to know? Well, you must travel with me.
Then it's not like we're in the middle of, like, war or anything.
Yeah, it's not like we have, like, important stuff. It's like, I need to marshal my soldiers, Gandalf. Anyway.
And so with that, they decide to go to Isengard.
Yeah, basically. Like, Gandalf goes, well, I'm going to Isengard. You can go to Edoras if you want. And Theoden goes, all right. Well, you saved my skin, and I kind of do want to find out what the fuck is going on with these trees. So I will go with you to Isengard. So they then rest for a bit in the Hornburg after the battle to recuperate and get ready for travel. But when they emerge, all the orcs are dead. Like, the ones that, like, had, like, run into the forest. Oh, wait, no.
It was, like, men that were working for the orcs, right?
Well, it's a mix of things, because all the orcs were killed. They spare none of the orcs. But the men of Dunland, who are, like, the traditional enemies of Rohan, are spared because they're still human. And they do say, help now to repair the evil in which you have joined, and afterwards you shall take an oath never again to pass the fords of Isen in arms, nor to march with the enemies of men. And then you shall go free back to your land, for you have been deluded by Saruman. Many of you have got death as the reward for your trust in him, but had you conquered, little better would your wages have been. And the men of Dunland kind of see through the propaganda that Saruman was giving them, because Saruman had told them that the men of Rohan were cruel and burned their captives alive.
And they just basically let them go, like, with a
They're
warning.
Just like, hey, help us repair the damage here and then go home.
Mm-hmm.
But as for the orcs, they get piled up, but they don't have, like, anything to burn them with. Yes, well, also, I love how they give the men of Dunland respect in that they build a great mound to put the bodies of the Rohirrim who died in the battle, mm-hmm. and then they make a completely separate mound for the men of Dunland for their dead and bury them as well. But then with the orcs, they just leave them there, and they intended on, like, they, like, pile them up, of course, but they were intending to burn them. But they don't have any trees, they don't have enough wood, and none of them want to, like, start chopping down this mysterious forest that just randomly trees. Appeared. And Gandalf says, let the orcs lie.
And these mounds kind of become, like, a landmark on the map.
Oh,
going
yeah.
forward, right? And also to note, rest in peace, Hama.
Yeah.
Captain of the Kingsguard.
He fell before the gate. He was the door ward of Theoden, and he warded the door quite a bit. Shout out to Evelyn, our good friend of the podcast, who loves Hama as a character. Mm. They wanted to be on the podcast when we first meet Hama at the Aww. King's Hall. And they wanted to talk about him. Scheduling didn't work out, but I do love that people have, like, their very specific little, like, minor
yeah.
characters
a
and how important
stan.
They are.
Evelyn, go creep in my DMs and tell me why. I want to hear.
Mm-hmm. And the Rohirrim sing a great song in memory of the fallen. A song of victory they sang with clear voices, and then they fell silent, wondering what would chance, for their eyes were on the trees and they feared them.
They kind of, like, enter the woods, right?
Yeah, they entered this wood that was not there a day ago, and it's very, very
Can
creepy.
Can you imagine?
I kind of want to read out this section.
Go for
the
it.
Trees were gray and menacing, and a shadow or a mist was about them. The ends of their long, sweeping boughs hung down like searching fingers. Their roots stood up from the ground like the limbs of strange monsters, and dark caverns opened beneath them. But Gandalf went forward, leading the company, and where the road from the Hornburg met the trees, they saw now an opening, like an arched gate under mighty boughs, and through it Gandalf passed, and they followed him. Then, to their amazement, they found that the road ran on, and the deeping stream beside it, and the sky was open above and full of golden light. But on either side, the great aisles of the wood were already wrapped in dusk, stretching away into impenetrable shadows, and there they heard the creaking and groaning of boughs, and far cries, and a rumor of wordless voices murmuring angrily. No orc or other living creature could be seen.
Creepy.
It's just the trees.
I love the thought that they're, like, going through these trees trying not to make eye contact.
Yeah, it's just,
with any trees as they walk through woods.
Don't look at the trees. Don't antagonize them. They can sense fear.
They can sense fear. They could smell fear.
What has become of the miserable orc? Said Legolas. That I think no one will ever know, said Gandalf.
Mystery.
And as they ride through, of course, Legolas is just entranced by these trees.
If they gave tree hugger Legolas time, I know he would spend years here in this forest.
He loves trees so much. He's Tolkien.
It's just a self-insert.
Yeah.
It's Tolkien's excuse to talk about his hyperfixation of trees in a character form. They rode in silence for a while, but Legolas was ever glancing from side to side and would often have halted to listen to the sounds of the wood if Gimli had allowed it. These are the strangest trees that ever I saw, he said, and I have seen many an oak grow from acorn to ruinous age. I wish that there were leisure now to walk among them. They have voices, and in time I might come to understand their thought.
No, no,
said Gimli.
Let us leave them. I guess their thought already. Hatred for all that go on two legs, and their speech is of crushing and strangling.
Not of all that go on two legs, said Legolas. There, I think you are wrong. It is orcs that they hate, for they do not belong here, no little of elves and men. Far away are the valleys where they sprang, from the deep dales of Fangorn, Gimli. That is whence they come, I guess.
And that is the most perilous wood in Middle-earth,
said Gimli.
You should be grateful for the part they have played, but I do not love them. You may think them wonderful, but I have seen a greater wonder in this land, more beautiful than any grove or glade that ever grew. My heart is still full of it. Strange are the ways of men, Legolas. Here they have one of the marvels of the northern world. And what do they say of it? Caves, they say, caves! Holes to fly to in times of war, to store fodder in. My good Legolas, do you know that the caverns of Helm's Deep are vast and beautiful? There would be an endless pilgrimage of dwarves merely to gaze at them, if such things were known to be. Aye, indeed, they would pay pure gold for a brief glance.
And I would give gold to be excused, said Legolas, and double to be let out if I strayed in.
You have not seen them, so I forgive your jest,
said Gimli.
But you speak like a fool. Do you think those halls are fair where your king dwells under the hill in Mirkwood, and dwarves helped in their making long ago? They are but hovels compared with the caverns I have seen here, immeasurable halls, filled with an everlasting music of water that tinkles into pools as fair as Caled Zarum in the starlight. And Legolas, when the torches are kindled, and men walk on the sandy floors under the echoing domes, ah, then Legolas, gems and crystals and veins of precious ore glint in the polished walls, and the light glows through folded marbles, shell-like, translucent as the living hands of Queen Galadriel. There are columns of white and saffron and dawn rose, Legolas, fluted and twisted into dreamlike forms. They spring up from many-colored floors to meet the glistening pendants of the roof. Wings, ropes, curtains fine as frozen clouds, spears, banners, pinnacles of suspended palaces. Still lakes mirror them. A glimmering world looks up from dark pools covered with clear glass. Cities such as the mind of Durin could scarce have imagined in his sleep stretch on through avenues and pillared courts, on into dark recesses where no light can come. And blink! A silver drop falls, and the round wrinkles in the glass make all the towers bend and waver like weeds and corals in a grotto of the sea. Then evening comes. They fade and twinkle out. The torches pass into another chamber and another dream. There is chamber after chamber, Legolas, hall opening out of hall, dome after dome, stair upon stair, and still the winding paths lead on into the mountain's heart. Caves! The caverns of Helm's Deep! Happy was the chance that drove me there. Makes me weep to leave them.
Then I will wish you this fortune for your comfort, Gimli, said the elf, that you may come safe from war and return to see them again. But do not tell all your kindred. There seems little left for them to do from your account. Maybe the men of this land are wise to say little. One family of busy dwarves with hammer and chisel might mar more than they made.
No, you do not understand,
said Gimli.
No dwarf could be unmoved by such loveliness. None of Durin's race would mine those caves for stones or ore. Not if diamonds and gold could be got there. Do you cut down groves of blossoming trees in the springtime for firewood? You would tend these glades of flowering stone, not quarry them. With cautious skill, tap by tap, a small chip of rock and no more, perhaps, in a whole anxious day. So we could work, and as the years went by, we should open up new ways and display for chambers that are still dark, glimpsed only as a void beyond fissures in the rock. And lights, Legolas! We would make lights such lamps as once shone in Khazad-dûm. And when we wished, we would drive away the night that was lain there since the hills were made. And when we desired rest, we would let the night return.
You move me, Gimli, said Legolas. I've never heard you speak like this before. Almost you make me regret that I have not seen these caves. Come, let us make this bargain. If we both return safe out of the perils that await us, we will journey for a while together. You shall visit Fëanor with me, and then I will come with you to see Helm's Deep.
That would not be the way of return that I choose,
said Gimli.
But I will endure Fëanor if I have your promise to come back to the caves and share their wonder with me.
You have my promise, said Legolas. But alas, now we must leave behind both cave and wood for a while. See, we are coming to the end of the trees. How far is it to Isengard, Gandalf?
About 50 leagues as the crows of Saruman make it,
said Gandalf.
5 from the mouth of Deeping Coombe to the fords, and 10 more from there to the gates of Isengard. But we shall not ride all this way tonight.
And when we come there, what shall we see?
Asked Gimli.
You may know, but I cannot guess. I do not know myself for certain,
answered the wizard.
I was there at nightfall yesterday, but much may have happened since. Yet I think that you will not say the journey was in vain, not though the glittering caves of Aglarond be left behind.
I love Gimli and Legolas so much.
Truly. Like, they already planned out a date, too. They're like, after war, here's what we're going to do.
But I will endure Fëanor if I have your promise to come back to the caves and share their wonder with me.
Amazing. Just, And is there anything more attractive than someone just going on about their passion?
And wanting you to share in that passion?
Yes.
Like, specifically also, like, I think of wanting to show someone your hometown is like... Like, oh, I grew up here. Oh, there's that, and there's that, and there's that.
Yeah.
And they could probably not even care if it's, like, a small little town. But, like, if they're there simply for you and for the passion you show that place, that's something real.
Knife to the heart.
Oh, love it.
And I never would have thought of caves as beautiful until this description.
Yeah, until Gimli talks about them. The Glittering Caves were actually inspired by a real place that Tolkien has been to.
Oh.
The Glittering Caves were inspired by the Cheddar Gorge in Somerset, England.
Cheddared Gorge?
The Cheddar Gorge.
Cheddar like cheese?
Yep.
The Cheddar Gorge Cheese Company. Ooh. That's a spooky looking cave. Oh my god, the entrance to it. Gorgeous. Yeah. It has like stalagmites and stalactites?
Yes. And Tolkien went there on his honeymoon.
No shit. This seems very on brand for him.
Yeah.
And the reflection of the water. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's pretty.
So if you two would like to experience what the Glittering Caves must have looked like, go to the Cheddar Gorge in Somerset, England.
How cool. I'm gonna put it on my list of things to travel to, if they still allow it.
And the gorge itself is what the area around Helm's Deep is supposed to look like, too.
Cool.
But moving on. They see eyes in the trees.
Was that Legolas? Yeah. There are eyes. Eyes looking out from the shadows of the boughs.
He wants to ride back, and Gimli's like, are you fucking crazy?
Or if you do, let me get down from the horse we are both on.
Yeah. I wish to see no eyes. I'm picturing now, you know those pictures that people take of people moving through haunted houses? And, like, the moment they get scared, I'm picturing Legolas and Gimli. And Gimli's, like, the one, like, covering his face and screaming. And Legolas is like, ah! With his eyes open. But Gandalf stops him just as an Ent appears. And is moving through the trees and kind of, like, pushing them away. And everyone gets, like, scared, but Gandalf goes, you need no weapons. These are but herdsmen. They are not enemies. Indeed, they are not concerned with us at all.
And they don't really pay him any heed. It's like...
Yeah, no, they're there to tend their flock, which are the Huorns, this forest that appeared overnight. They're basically herding them back to Fangorn.
That's crazy. Just hurting some trees.
Gandalf basically tells Theoden, oh, these are the Ents. You have seen Ents, O King. Ents out of Fangorn Forest, which in your tongue you call the Entwood. Did you think that the name was given only in idle fancy? Nay, Theoden, it is otherwise. To them, you are but the passing tale. All the years from Eorl the Young to Theoden the Old are of little count to them, and all the deeds of your house are but a small matter.
And then the king is like, Ents, what do you mean? That's just a fable and folklore.
Yeah.
Again, back to my comparison of Ents being like Frosty the Snowman. They're just tales can't believe are true, which I think is rather fun.
And I love this line here. You are not without allies, even if you know them not. And I feel like in our day and age, we kind of have that, like, we don't know all of our allies, but they're there.
I
feel
like I saw a little bit of that with all the kind messages I receive on social media.
Oh, yeah.
Of people that I wasn't just, like, very kind and very, like, yeah, the community kind of extends more than I thought.
Yeah.
That is a good line. I'm underlining that line.
And Theoden also mentions... It's this running theme of magic and wonder leaving the world over time, as time goes on. How Theoden goes, for however the fortune of war shall go, may it not so end that much that was fair and wonderful shall pass forever out of Middle-earth? It may, said Gandalf, the evil of Sauron cannot be wholly cured, nor made as if it had not been, but to such days we are doomed. Let us now go on the journey we have begun.
Onwards they go.
And a good part of it is them traveling up through the Gap of Rohan across the hordes of, the fords of Isen, which is the main gateway into Rohan from the west. And they do mention, like, this river used to be a lot stronger. When they come across it, the riders look down.
It's barren, right?
Yeah, they looked down upon the crossings, and it seemed strange to them, for the fords had ever been a place full of the rush and chatter of water upon stones, but now they were silent, the beds of the stream were almost dry, a bare waste of shingles and dry sand.
Spooky. Oh, and then something spooky does happen. And I didn't understand what was going on.
Well, first, we should talk about how when they're at the Fords of Eisen, they see smoke rising from the north and wondering if it's some devilry that Saruman is cooking up. Yeah, what do you think of that, Gandalf? Said Aragorn. One would say that all the Wizard's Vale is burning. There's ever a fume from the valley in those days, in these days, said Éomer, but I've never seen aught like this before. These are steams rather than smokes. Saruman is brewing some devilry to greet us. Maybe he is boiling the waters of Isen, and that is why the river runs dry. Maybe he is, said Gandalf.
Just imagining him like with a giant witch's pot boiling up some type of potion. And then the
But
creepy
yes.
darkness appears.
Yeah. A mist gathered about them. Above them, a few stars still glimmered faintly, but on either side there arose walls of impenetrable gloom. They were in a narrow lane between moving towers of shadow. Voices they heard, whisperings and groanings and an endless rustling sigh. The earth shook under them. Long it seemed to them that they sat and were afraid, but at last the darkness and the rumor passed and vanished between the mountain's arms. And the next part is also kind of covers that. Where basically, at night, people hear like a great noise as a wind in the valley, and the ground trembles, and everyone is scared. But when they look out the next morning, all the bodies of the orcs are gone, and so is the forest. All that we hear is the forest returning to Fangorn, both in the Hornburg, where like the trees basically collect all the orc bodies there. And what they do with them, I have no idea. Use them for mulch or something.
Ah.
And then what the company hears at the Fords of Isen is the trees moving past to return to Fangorn.
Oh, so some more spooky tree stuff. Tree herding. Huh. Oh, and then the water returns.
Yeah.
Did the trees do that too? Was it blocked by a dam of orc bodies?
It is have to do with like the dam at Isengard, but honestly, you'll find about what actually happened in the next chapter,
Oh, okay. I
which
see, I
is
see.
honestly the next chapter is basically last time on Glee as told by Merry and Pippin. It's Merry and
Yeah.
Pippin telling Aragorn, Legolas, and Gimli about what their experience was with the Ents.
Okay. I see.
So they pass into Nan-Curunir, the Wizard's
That's a
Vale,
name.
and like they talk about how once the entire valley was like green and beautiful, and now it's like all chopped down and everything is like ruined because the trees have been used for fuel and orcs have despoiled the land.
Orcs had been there for a few years, right? Like it was their area or their land.
Saruman was like having them like mine and dig underneath Isengard in secret, and then as soon as like he had captured Gandalf, he immediately let them loose, and they started like chopping down so much of the trees.
Secret tunnel. Secret tunnel.
I also love this description. Suddenly, a tall pillar loomed up before them. It was black, and set upon it was a great stone carved and painted in the likeness of a long white hand. Its finger pointed north. Not far now were w not far now they knew that the gates of Isengard must stand, and their hearts were heavy, but their eyes could not pierce the mists ahead. They also describe what Isengard looks like and how it's built. It's essentially this large tower of fused stone in the middle called Orthonk, and around it is this massive wall of stone that runs around it.
And they said Orthonk, the citadel of Saruman, which had twofold meaning in Elvish speech, signifies Mount Fang, but in the language of the Mark of the Old, the cunning mind.
Yes.
I thought that was fun. And of course,
Yeah.
very Tolkien.
Of course, Tolkien throwing in
A
more
million
like
names with a
language
million
lore.
meanings.
So like, let me throw this in.
And the tower has a different name too.
That's Orthonk. Orthonk is the name of the tower. Isengard is the name of the place.
What is Barad-dûr?
Oh, Barad-dûr? That's the Dark Tower that Sauron is in Mordor.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, because it said, but Saruman had slowly shaped it to his shifting purposes and made it better, as he thought, being deceived. For all those arts and subtle devices for which he forsook his former wisdom, and which fondly he imagined were his own, came but from Mordor, so that what he made was not only a little copy, a child's model, or a slave's flattery, of that vast fortress, armory, prison, furnace of great power, Barad-dûr, the Dark Tower, which suffered no rival and laughed at flattery, biding its time, secure in its pride and its immeasurable strength.
I see, I see. And hence we're introduced to the Two Towers.
Yes, the Two Towers.
Wow, got there. Though, page 690.
That's not the inspiration of the Two Towers that Tolkien had.
Oh. The Cheddar Towers.
The Cheddar the Cheese Towers.
As you're looking it up, I love how the next paragraph, it talks about how it was stained as with dried blood and red, and its nails were red, and all I could think of was that the hands had a manicure.
Yeah. Yeah, originally the Two Towers that Tolkien had in mind when he lent the name the Two Towers is Orthanc, of course, and the Tower of Minas Morgul, which we will see in Sam and Frodo's chapters.
Oh, I forgot about those hobbits. I forgot they're in this story.
And that's what he was kind of comparing them to. But then, like, when the movies came around, this idea of the alliance of the Two Towers of Barad-dûr and Orthanc was basically put in by Peter Jackson. When in reality, the relationship between Isengard and Mordor was very fraught. Isengard was trying to basically be a copy and an imitation of, and with the only difference being Saruman is the Lord as opposed to Sauron. But like Tolkien says here, he was always going to be a laughable imitation of Barad-dûr. Orthanc was never going to be this great and mighty power, no matter what Saruman wanted to think.
Interesting.
But they are surprised when they ride up ahead and see that the mighty doors of Isengard, the great gates, are broken down. They lay hurled and twisted on the ground, and all about stone, cracked and splintered into countless jagged shards, was scattered far and wide, or piled in ruinous heaps. The great arch still stood, but it opened now upon a roofless chasm. The tunnel was laid bare, and through the cliff-like walls on either side, great rents and breaches had been torn. Their towers were beaten into dust. If the great sea had risen in wrath and fallen on the hills with storm, it could have worked no greater ruin. And then, they catch a sight of something very interesting.
When I tell you, I was shocked. The king and all his company sat silent on their horses, marveling, perceiving that the power of Saruman was overthrown. But how, they could not guess. And now they turned their eyes towards the archway and the ruined gates. There they saw, close beside them, a great rubble heap, and suddenly they were aware of two small figures lying on it at their ease, gray-clad, hardly to be seen among the stones. There were bottles and bowls and platters laid beside them, as if they had just eaten well, and now rested from their labor. One seemed asleep. The other, with crossed legs and arms behind his head, leaned back against a broken rock and sent from his mouth long wisps and little rings of thin blue smoke. For a moment, Théoden and Éomer and all his men stared at them in wonder. Amid all the wreck of Isengard, this seemed to them the strangest sight. But before the king could speak, the small, smoke-breathing figure became suddenly aware of them, as they sat there silent on the edge of the mist. He sprang to his feet. A young man he looked, or like one, though not much more than half a man in height. His head of brown, curling hair was uncovered, but he was clad in a travel-stained cloak, of the same hue and shape as the companions of Gandalf had worn when they rode to Edoras. He bowed very low, putting his hand upon his breast. Then, seeming not to observe the wizard and his friends, he turned to Éomer and the king. "Welcome, my lords, to Isengard," he said. "We are the Door Wardens. Merodach, son of Saradoc, is my name, and my companion, who, alas, is overcome with weariness." Here he gave the other a dig with his foot. "'Is Peregrin, Son of Paladin, of the House of Took, far in the north is our home. The Lord Saruman is within, but at the moment he is closeted with one Wormtongue, or doubtless he would be here to welcome such honorable guests.
Doubtless he would,
laughed Gandalf.
And was it Saruman that ordered you to guard his damaged doors and wait for the arrival of guests when your attention could be spared from plate and bottle?
No, good sir, the matter escaped him, answered Merry gravely. He has been much occupied. Our orders came from Treebeard, who has taken over the management of Isengard. He commanded me to welcome the Lord of Rohan with fitting words. I have done my best.
And what about your companions? What about Legolas and me?
Cried Gimli, unable to contain himself longer.
You rascals! You woolly-footed and wool-padded truants! A fine hunt you've led us! 200 leagues through fen and forest, battle and death to rescue you, and here we find you feasting and idling and smoking! Smoking! Where did you come by the weed, you villains? Hammer and tongs, I'm so torn between rage and joy that if I do not burst, it will be a marvel.
You speak for me, Gimli, laughed Legolas, but I would sooner learn how they came by the wine.
One thing you've not found in your hunting, and that's brighter wits,
said Pippin, opening an eye.
Here you find us sitting on a field of victory, amid the plunder of armies, and you wonder how we came by a few well-earned comforts.
Well-earned,
said Gimli.
I cannot believe that.
The riders laughed.
I cannot be doubted that we witnessed the meeting of dear friends,
said Theoden.
So these are the lost ones of your company, Gandalf? The days are fated to be filled with marvels. Already I have seen many since I left my house, and now here before my eyes stand yet another of the folk of legend. Are not these the halflings that some among us call the Hobbitland?
Hobbits, if you please, lord,
said Pippin.
Hobbits,
said Theoden.
Your tongue is strangely changed, but the name sounds not unfitting so. Hobbits, no report that I have heard does justice to the truth.
Merry bowed, and Pippin got up and bowed low.
Your gracious lord, or I hope that I may so take your words,
he said.
And here is another marvel. I have wandered in these and many lands since I left my home, and never till now have I found people that knew any story concerning hobbits.
My people came out of the north long ago,
said Theoden.
But I will not deceive you. We know no tales about hobbits. All that is said among us is that far away, over many hills and rivers, live the halfling folk that dwell in holes and sand dunes. But there are no legends of their deeds, for it is said that they do little, and avoid the sight of men, being able to vanish in a twinkling, and they can change their voices to resemble the piping of birds. But it seems that more could be said.
Good indeed, lord, said Merry.
For one thing,
said Theoden,
I had not heard that they spouted smoke from their mouths.
That is not surprising, answered Merry. For it is an art which we have not practiced for more than a few generations. It was Tobold Hornblower of Longbottom in the South Farthing, who first grew the true pipeweed in his gardens, about the year 1070, according to our reckoning. How old Toby came by the plant?
You do not know your danger, Theoden,
interrupted Gandalf.
These hobbits will sit on the edge of ruin and discuss the pleasures of the table, or the small doings of their fathers, grandfathers, and great-grandfathers, and remoter cousins to the ninth degree, if you encourage them with undue patience. Some other time would be more fitting for the history of smoking. Where is Treebeard, Merry?
Away on the north side, I believe. He went to get a drink of clean water. Most of the other Ents are with him, still busy at their work. Go over there. Merry waved his hand towards the steaming lake, and as they looked, they heard a distant rumbling and rattling, as if an avalanche was falling from the mountainside. Far away came a hum-hum, as of horns blowing triumphantly.
And is Orthonk then left unguarded?
Asked Gandalf. There is the water, said Merry, but Quickbeam and some others are watching it. Not all those posts and pillars in the plain are of Saruman's planting. Quickbeam, I think, is by the rock, near the foot of the stair. Yes, the tall grey Ent is there, said Legolas. But his arms are at his sides, and he stands as still as a door-tree.
It is past noon,
said Gandalf.
and we at any rate have not eaten since early morning. Yet I wish to see Treebeard as soon as maybe. Did he leave me no message, or has plate and bottle driven it from your mind?
He left a message, said Mary, and I was coming to it, but I had been hindered by many other questions. I was to say that, if the Lord of the Mark and Gandalf will ride to the northern wall, they will find Treebeard there, and he will welcome them. I may add that they will also find food of the best there. It was discovered and selected by your humble servants. He bowed. Gandalf laughed.
That is better,
he said.
Well, Théoden, will you ride with me to find Treebeard? We must go round about, but it is not that far. When you see Treebeard, you will learn much, for Treebeard is Fangorn, and the eldest and chief of Ents, and when you speak with him, you will hear the speech of the oldest of all living things. I will come with you,
said Théoden.
Farewell, my hobbits. May we meet again in my house. There you shall sit beside me, and tell me all that your hearts desire, the deeds of your grandsires, as far as you can reckon them. And we will speak also of Tobold the Old and his herb lore. Farewell.
The hobbits bowed low.
So that is the King of Rohan,
said Pippin in an undertone.
A fine old fellow. Very polite.
And we get a reunion.
I love this. First off, Merry and Pippin just being so nonchalant about everything. Just like, oh, well, like, you know, like, they're like, okay, we're totally gonna, like, pretend like we're really respectable, right? We're the door wardens of Isengard now. Like,
just hanging out, smoking, chilling out, relaxing, and acting all cool.
Yeah, they're like, oh, the Lord Saruman is within. However, Treebeard's in charge. He's taken over management of Isengard.
Would you like to speak to the manager?
Yeah, I'd like to speak to the tree manager, please.
They're acting so cool, and Gimli's fed up, and it was like, come here, you suckers. We missed you. We were worried about you, and you're just over here smoking.
Where'd you get the weed? I love how we can actually...
Legolas is like, where did you get the wine?
Yeah, I want, like, just a fucking picture of John Rhys-Davies as Gimli making, like, a funny face. And underneath, it just says, where did you come by the weed, you villains? And it's just like, Gimli, 2023 or something.
And I guess we will find out in the next chapter?
Well, yeah, we certainly will, but I definitely want to touch on the connection between hobbits and the Rohirrim, because the Rohirrim are the few people who have tales about hobbits outside of the hobbits themselves, and the men of Bree who just live alongside the hobbits.
Yeah, they kind of seem like folklore as well.
Yeah, and how they share very similar language, because hobbit is definitely derived from the original Hobbitlan, which is what the... Rohirrim called them, which means hole dweller.
I honestly didn't hear the similarity until you said it, and I was like, oh, that does sound like Hobbit came from.
Yeah.
Came from it.
And, like, Théoden is very interested in these hobbits, and he's also very interested in them smoking, because no one really smokes in human, like, outside of Bree and the Shire, and, like, the dwarves who picked it up from traveling, like, through the Shire, they picked up smoking, too. No one else really knows about pipeweed. Specifically in the south, in Rohan and Gondor, they don't know about pipeweed. I think they have, like, a variant of pipeweed that they know of, but they don't use it for smoking. It's just a plant that there's around that they don't use for anything.
So hobbits were their original potheads?
Oh, yeah, no.
Pot hobbits?
At the end of the books, in the appendix, there's an entire history of smoking. That Mary canonically writes, and that is like what Mary has actually written. So you're reading Mary's words on the history of pipeweed.
Jimmy Wood.
There's so much in the appendixes that we're gonna have to cover.
We'll circle back to that after the books.
And I do love this kind of connection that Mary has with Théoden, in that they're speaking and Théoden is very interested and he does want to talk with these hobbits at length. I also love the difference in manner of speech, how Mary says how old Toby got the idea, And it's like, old Toby, oh, old so-and-so. But the way that Rohirric language works, Théoden reads that as his epithet. So he calls him Tobold the Old, as like that's his, like, because there are, like, kings of Rohan. Like, there's one of the kings of Rohan is called Aldor the Old. And I just find it amusing in that there's that kind of, like, cultural miscommunication where, while the, like, Mary uses it as kind of, like, a very familiar term of old Toby, good old Toby. Yeah. Like, Théoden reads it as, like, a proper, like a king's epithet of Tobold the Old, like a proper moniker.
That's, I didn't catch that. That's cute.
I also do love Gandalf cutting off Merry, being like, Théoden, you're playing a dangerous game. I've hung around hobbits a lot, and if you don't, like, set boundaries, they will just keep talking.
Deep into this rabbit hole.
Oh.
To anyone with a hyperfixation.
You do not know your peril.
And again,
peril.
You're still in the middle of war. We got things
to do. A war is still going on. Things need to get done, and Merry and Pippin are just smoking and drinking and feasting.
And we're ready to talk story.
And yeah, they're ready to hang, you know? They're ready to see their friends, too.
Yeah.
And that's the end of this chapter.
I was so surprised when it was like a small, curly, brown haired. I was like, wait, reunion already?
I know someone like that. I do love. The next chapter is actually one of my favorite chapters because it is literally two friends telling their friends a story while also, like, serving them food.
Ideal.
And, like, asking them about, like, what kind of wine they want. Do they want their bread toasted? Like, they're making them a meal while telling them their story in, like, this cozy little guard room that they've made their own little, like, abode. And they're all filling each other in on what's happening. And I just love that. I love, it feels, first off, very comforting. It feels like something I would do with my friends, for sure. Mm-hmm. And it's so hobbit-coded. It's so hobbit-coded that they,
you're
like,
you're just hobbit-coded.
They take a guard room in Isengard and have basically made it their little hobbit hole. And they are, like, entertaining their friends, and it's delightful. So I can't wait for next chapter.
Saruman is just up there in the tower.
All while Saruman is under house arrest for fucking tax evasion or some bullshit. Like, and then we also cover kind of like a confrontation with Saruman, but that doesn't happen until the chapter after next. So
okay, exciting stuff. I think we're like halfway through.
Oh, yeah, no, once we're done, like, I think there are three more chapters done in the Fellowship section, and then we're going to strictly Frodo and Sam for, like,
Sam and Frodo.
Several more
what
chapters.
What those bitches been up to?
What are those gay bitches doing? So, I think, yeah, all I have to talk about.
Yeah. We give our thanks. On this day, we give our thanks.
On this day, we give our thanks.
As always, many thanks to Jack for our intro music. This is where you're supposed to go, yay, Jack. Not even listening. we're switching up the roles. You gotta play me as well.
Oh, fuck. Okay, yeah, sorry. Okay, start over.
As always, many thanks to Jack.
Yay, Jack.
For our intro music. And to Wool.
Yeah, well,
for our season 4 podcast arts. And thank you to our Patreons.
Yeah, patrons.
Patreons for always throwing money at us, which you can find at patreon.com/ what is it called? The Silly Rillion? Silly Rillion.
Fuck you. Fuck you. You know exactly.
That's where you say yes, Tori.
Yes, yes, Tori. Yes, The Silly Merillion.
And also you can find us, you know, on all the socials, Twitter, Silly Merillions, Instagram, Gmail. Hit us up with your, where you're listening
LinkedIn.
From. LinkedIn. We got a LinkedIn.
We need a LinkedIn page. You and I both work there.
Thanks for having us on your Spotify Wrapped, and as always, thanks for listening to our sheet.
Da-da-da.
I think I nailed that.
One thing you've not found in your hunting, and that's brighter wits.
Said Whippin.
Whippin! I'm saving that.